It's that time again, everyone. Welcome back to Comic Book Storyline. I'm Brian Sorensen, a.k.a. Bri the Comic Book Guy. If you like what you hear, hit that subscribe button. I can't do what I do without your help. You can follow me on Instagram at Bri the Comic Book Guy, or you can email me brithecomicbookguy@gmail.com. So we are wrapping up our discussion with Armor Wars. We did part 1 and 2, leading from Armor Wars 1 into 2, and we're going to finish up with Armor Wars 2. The issues of discussion today are Iron Man 261 through 266, wrapping everything up. And then we'll briefly go into what we'll discuss in our next adventure. So, right now, where we left off, Tony battled Living Laser. Now, he's been one of Tony's long-standing bad guys. Now, also, we have to remember that Tony doesn't know who's doing what to him. His body is completely immobilized within the armor. He has no idea that it's this Kirsten DeWitt dude with that Mars Corporation. So he's still, like, has no idea what's going on, only that something is going on. And if you think about it, too, from the perspective of what the bad guys are doing, at this level of technology, for the time frame that it was, I mean, this is what, like, 1990. So for stuff like this to come out in 1990, when we were, what, 18 more years away from the first Iron Man movie, it's just absolutely amazing what they can come up with back in the day. So we leave off, Tony is completely immobilized. Like, he's pretty much trapped in the Iron Man armor. And they're saying Iron Man's dead, but they don't know that he's not. And, you know, he's sweating like a pig in this armor. He can't move absolutely at all. So emergency crews are getting ready to pick him up. And everybody back at the Mars Corporation is like, okay, so he is immobilized. So now what do we do? Now, the other thing to think about with this is these guys. So they planted this thing in Tony to control his nervous system and everything in it. They don't know that he's Iron Man. Because they can't physically see him. They can see his body. They're in this big lab thing where all these people are controlling him. They can see a whole readout of his nervous system, his body, and everything. But the entertaining part about this is, a little bit from the perspective of the reader, they can't see that he's Iron Man. They know that he's immobilized. And somehow he's under a lot of stress and he's doing all these things and his readouts, they're confusing him. They don't know that he's Iron Man. So they really have absolutely no idea what's going on. So they're getting ready to load him up into an ambulance. So Tony uses his helmet and he summons one of his spare armors. Now he can do that. I mean, we've seen his other armors come at him like in Iron Man 3. So we see one of his other armors come, pick him up, and take him back to Stark Enterprises. Rhodey is there and everything. He brings him through this secure section of Stark Industries where the sensors can't monitor him, but he's still kind of immobilized. And, you know, there's a little bit of tension at Mars with those two Mars siblings, Desmond and Phoebe, and they're watching Kirsten DeWitt's efforts, and they're discussing whether or not what's the long-term benefit of tormenting Stark with their implant. And you see that Kirsten is kind of distracted by Phoebe. He thinks she's attractive, but that's not part of the bigger picture here. So DeWitt kind of, he's trying to play with Tony, and you can see it. He temporarily disables the device, so Stark can move again. Like, all of a sudden, they turn it, he flips the switch, and he's like, hey, my paralysis. It's like somebody just flipped a switch. So Tony doesn't know yet what's going on, but it's really what happened. He goes, I'm back to normal, but for how long? And Rhodey's like, okay, we got to do something before you're immobilized again. Tony takes off his helmet for the first time in a while, and he thinks it has something to do with the years of abuse that he's put through his body, all the years as Iron Man, through the alcoholism, everything that's happened. Yeah, he thinks that there was some hidden damage, then that's why it is. So he still doesn't really know yet what the cause is. So Rhodey's given a complete makeover, and we're going to pick up in Iron Man 262. Tony decides it's time. He needs to figure out if it's something on his body or not. So we start off with the issue. Tony is being, like, thoroughly examined. Now, he has this team of physicians all around him, checking him out, and they're like, nothing's wrong at all. There's not a thing wrong with you that we can find. He's like, are you sure? And I can't emphasize this enough. It's vital that you're sure. So Rhodey's like, maybe you should tell him why. He's like, no, don't. So they're like, there isn't anything wrong. It's like we are like the best physicians on the planet, and we can't figure out what's going on. There's nothing wrong. So they're like, all right, whatever. Rhodey and Tony kind of go off, and he's like, okay, I haven't drinking anything. I haven't done anything else to abuse my body and everything. I'm on the mend from everything. I drink water now and all that other jazz. I can't figure out what this could be. And we see that DeWitt is once again looking at Tony's body. He's like, we're gonna continue to monitor. We're gonna just mess with him some more. So he's watching his vitals. So they can see when Tony's in the armor, flying around, doing stuff strenuous, but they don't know what he's doing. As I said, they can't physically see him, but he wants to try and remedy that. So DeWitt gets this team. Now, it's I'm trying to describe it. You'd have to get this issue in particular, Iron Man Volume 1, 262, and it's a layout on this big lab floor. And there's one, two, three, four, five, six, seven guys in like a form of a body, which is Tony's body, and they're all controlling part of Tony. One's got his nervous system, they've got his legs, his arms, circulatory system, cerebral cortex, and all of a sudden they flip a switch, and Tony is just walking with Rhodey, all of a sudden stops, quiet, turns around, and walks away. And Rhodey's like, what are you doing? What's going on here? And you see Tony just walk down the steps and he walks out the door. And Rhodey's like, the whole plant's deserted. What is going on here? All the security guards. Now, there was some stuff at Stark Industries. There's a strike going on, and there's not that many security guards. So Rhodey busts into the security room and he's like, okay, what are you doing here? And he's like, oh, I didn't find anything. I ran a security check. There's nothing here. So Rhodey's thinking it's an inside job. So he pretty much pummels this guy because he thinks that he's the one that's doing all of the bad stuff. And it's really not. Like, he's just pissed off that Tony is. Yeah. So he looks at a security camera and he sees Tony gets dressed in a suit and he walks out the door. He restrains the security guard just in case it's him that's doing anything. So Rhodey walks up and he tries to block Tony. Tony starts wailing on him, like beats the crap out of him, and they're like, "Oh!" And now these guys at Mars Industries, they're in control of his body, so they're the ones telling Tony to beat up Rhodey. Rhodey gets a good couple punches in, knocks him unconscious, and goes into the deep, deep bowels of Stark Industries, where he's just straps him down to this table. He's like, I've gotta snap you out of it. Tony's body is being controlled, but his mind is still free. So if you can imagine from the perspective of Tony, like, he's aware of what's going on, he just can't do anything about it. So he realizes that the only way to do this is to put the circuitry back on him, because that was really the only time Tony had complete control over himself. So he gets Tony back into an armor, and they're like, huh. Back at Mars Industries, they're like, okay. This dude DeWitt, and he's really just like you could tell he's just like this really weird dude. So Tony gets back into the armor and he goes, I can walk, I can talk, this link in my helmet, I can compel this armor to do anything, but I'm fighting my own body. I'm a prisoner in my own creation. So he's trapped in the armor because that's the only way he can move, to kind of like defeat the control of what's going on. So then we get to Iron Man 263. DeWitt's really got this really bad on for Tony. He's showing that he's in complete neurological control over him, even though he appears to be independent, because, like I said in the previous issue, they don't know he's Iron Man, so they don't understand why they have complete control, but he's still able to do what he's doing. They don't understand why Tony is able to do this, but because he's Tony Stark, they think that he has something on and they've figured it out. So Rhodey and Iron Man, they're testing out his armor. They want to make sure that he can still be Iron Man effectively while they're trying to get to the bottom of who's in control and what. Now, there's also some other stuff going on in these issues. I'm not covering it because it doesn't have anything to do with Armor Wars. There's a lot of stuff about the Mandarin, coming back into control. So if you're a longtime fan of Iron Man and you want to see some Mandarin issues, this is it. So we get back to Iron Man is flying around. He's got mobility back, but he can't take off the suit. They said if you take off the suit, something's going to do something. And Rhodey's like, I really don't want to have to take you down again. So DeWitt's arguing with his scientists. He goes, you guys need to figure this out. I need to have complete control. So as DeWitt leaves the room, one of the guys goes, hey, I get zero resistance on the right arm. And you see that Tony's right arm, they took the armor off. And to test it, DeWitt's guys, he hits Rhodey, knocks him on the floor. And he's like, hey, I've been testing this armor. We need to get this armor back on you. Because apparently you still can't control, and even at Stark's Industries, they're still messing with you, or somebody's messing with you. So he puts the armor back on and he's able to regain control. And just as that's going on, there's an alarm at Stark Industries. Living Laser is getting ready to attack again. So Tony's like, all right, I gotta take care of this. Rhodey's like, you're not in the best condition to do this. But he's like, okay. So Tony flies off and he starts battling with Living Laser again. Laser's getting a good edge on him. He's knocking him through his armor and kind of knocks him for a loop. But a little bit of a cavalry comes. Now, at this point, after Armor Wars 1, Tony was kicked out of the Avengers West Coast. But in between things, he's gotten back in their good graces. So in swoops Wonder Man and Hank Pym to kind of rescue Iron Man and kind of help him against Living Laser. Wonder Man does a little job on Living Laser, kind of knocks him out. Iron Man ends up dissipating Laser's laser beam and everything to pull him back together. And he tells Wonder Man and Hank Pym, thanks for helping me out. I got to take care of some things. You guys go on back to the Avengers headquarters. And like, okay, I need to be able to safely appear in public again, so I can't have all these attacks going on. So we know that Tony, it's kind of like a huge plague on him. He's got all of this stuff going on with his armor and his body. And then on top of that, he's got all this stuff going on at Stark Enterprises. There was a labor strike that happened before Armor Wars 2 started, so he's had to deal with that. So he's had to deal with the business aspect of Stark Enterprises, where he's had to be publicly talking about everything that's been going on. And there's these huge mobs of employees that have mobbed the gates of Stark's Enterprises. Rhodey goes to the gate and tries to clear them out. Now, Rhodey is Iron Man's like kind of right-hand man, as he was in the movies. It was a different aspect. Rhodey in the movies was his like liaison to the military and everything, but in the comics, Rhodey worked for Stark Enterprises. Like he was basically like his number two. So it's a little bit different than the movies. So they have to have some kind of press release about the Iron Man situation with Living Laser on Stark Enterprises turf, the labor disputes. So Tony has Rhodey sit in this chair, and they use this little cloaking technology to make Rhodey look and sound like Tony, because Tony obviously can't get out of the armor, to kind of dispel what's going on, kind of give the news people an update, because Tony Stark needs to be in the public, no matter what, even if he is down for the count. So we go back to Mars Industries. Mars wants full control. They want full control, and DeWitt wants full control. And he's desperately arguing with all these scientists, like, I'm supposed to have control. Why don't I have control? You guys need to figure it out. How can he still move when you guys tell me that I am in control? Because at this point, they still don't know he's Iron Man. And I'm gonna give a little spoiler. They never find out he's Iron Man. They still can't figure it out. So Rhodey busts through this whole big conglomerate of former employees that are striking at Stark Industries. He tries and breaks them up, but that's not working. So Iron Man comes on the scene to kind of quell everything. He busts up a truck trying to ram a gate and try and quell all the rioters. It's not working. And then he starts shooting up the place to try and get everybody to back up, stay away from the industries. And then all of a sudden, he gets dizzy in the armor, can't catch his breath, falls completely to the ground. And the issue ends with him just laying in this little crater, totally immobilized. Something seizes his heart. He feels like he's having like this heart attack or something. crashes down right into the pavement. So we get into Iron Man 265. So we've seen the riots that go on. Iron Man is trying to stop everything, bust up a bunch of rioters. So there's Iron Man is in this little crevice and everything. And the issue starts out, the whole gang of rioters. Now, from a rioter's standpoint, you have Iron Man who just fell to the earth, right? And he's crashed on the ground. So what do you think you should do? Well, the rioters start attacking Iron Man with baseball bats and chunks of concrete, none of which is having any effect. And so Tony's completely immobilized. He can't do anything because obviously DeWitt has control still at this point. So, and we see how much this is a game to DeWitt. Now, keep in mind, Tony has absolutely no idea what's going on. He doesn't know Carson DeWitt, doesn't know what's going on. So DeWitt turns off the control. Tony leaps up and just flies off from all of the rioters, but he's still a little woozy as he's flying. So Rhodey's chasing after him in a helicopter, grabs onto him, brings him back into the helicopter, and he's like, Tony, shut down the armor. I can't fly a helicopter holding on to you. So he ends up taking down the armor and getting back to base. So Rhodey's like, all right, I'm going to give you another complete workthrough. And he's like, okay, I'm analyzing everything. Everything's complete. You know, your nervous system is shot. Readings are off the scale. I don't know what's going on. And Tony's like, it's not my nervous system at all. He goes, the only way anyone could have been manipulating me these past few weeks if they've completely seized control of my nervous system. So Tony's starting to figure things out. And he's like, so the only practical way to do that without some kind of external device would be to replace my nervous system with one of their own. So he's like, that's crazy. He's like, well, you know, weirder things have happened. Look where we are. So he goes, okay, take me to my pharmacology lab. So Tony has like a pharmacy in Stark Labs. He goes, I need to take some painkillers. And he's like, yeah, that's a good idea. Is that really a good idea? And he's like, yeah, you know, I'll take some pain medication. And he's kind of reminiscent of previous times where he's been in all sorts of trouble. So he's now thinking of who could have done this. So then he kind of figures it out. And he goes, I looked into this modern miracle because he had a point where he was shot and paralyzed. He goes, there was a microchip implant that replaced the ruined nerve connections, gave me back the use of my legs. A little too quick and easy, it seems now. That must have been when it started. That microchip was more than it seemed. So it's some kind of bioparasite that's grown in my body, consuming my nervous system, and replacing it with one that my enemies can control. So I need to figure out who could have done this. So he runs this encrypted thing to kind of see who could have had a grudge against him. And the last one on it is Mars Corporation, because Tony's like, I don't know who it is. And Rhodey's like, hey, Mars Corporation, there was a helicopter that said Mars Corporation dodging us while we were coming back. So he's like, okay, so that Desmond and Phoebe Mars have crossed swords with me in the past on the corporate battlefield. They never forgave me for outbidding them on something. So it turns out, I mean, this whole thing is based on like a corporate and money thing. Like, they're getting back at Tony Stark for them losing out on a bid for a company project. So Iron Man gets all suited up again. He goes, all right, so I gotta take these guys out. Now, while he does that, he flies off. And Rhodey kind of looks into a room that has all these other Iron Man armors. And you're kind of getting the suspicion that Rhodey's about to do something maybe to help Tony. So Tony's flying off to the Mars Corporation. He seems like he's in full control for the time being. So he crashes down into Mars Corp, starts trashing the place. He hears that somebody says DeWitt should have known that would happen. Messing with Stark is an invitation for his bodyguard. And he's like, DeWitt? Who's this DeWitt? He goes, he grabs one of the scientists and he's like, okay, who's this DeWitt dude? And as he's trying to interrogate this scientist, this big purple and blue armor thing comes out and he goes, let him go, Iron Man. It's not him you want, it's me. And he starts shooting at him. And he blasts Iron Man through this wall. He goes, where'd this guy come from? He was pretty quiet. And you see that DeWitt is in the armor. So it also kind of mirrors the Obadiah Stane thing. Now, in the comic, the Obadiah Stane thing actually did happen. It happened way back in the early 200s, like issue 200 of Iron Man is when that whole Ironmonger outfit thing came through. But it's kind of reminiscent of that. Like somebody put in a high-tech armor that's out to get Tony. So once again, he's faced with this, who is this? What's going on? So while DeWitt is in this armor, he can once again control Tony's body. So he turns back on the chip and Tony's just kind of just sitting there. He goes, "You've damaged yourself really bad, Tony. I'm gonna flip this switch and then I'm gonna kill you." I'm like, oh, that's not gonna be good. So we get to the final installment of Armor Wars 2. And I hope you've enjoyed this so far because it's a unique look into the life of Iron Man. Those if you're a fan of Iron Man in the books or in the movies, then this has been pretty cool. So issue 266 is where we're gonna finish up, and then we'll briefly talk about what's gonna happen next couple weeks. So Iron Man's kind of hunched over, and DeWitt in the armor's like, "Get up, Iron Man, I want you dead, but I want you to suffer first." So and he's really taking it to him. He picks up Iron Man. Now Iron Man still can't control his body. He throws him through all these walls, and he's pummeling him. So Tony kind of gets back this brief control, and he tries to shoot up out of the building. So he's in they're trashing their sub basements of Mars Corporation. So he finds this little shaft of light. So he flies up into the sky, and DeWitt's like, "Okay, he's not going to escape me. Do you hear me? You're not going to escape." Just as Iron Man kind of wraps his arms around his legs, tries to take him down on the ground. So he's pummeling, pummeling, pummeling. He finally finds a weak spot in DeWitt's armor, and he's like, "Okay, so if he's controlling my nervous system, that means he's not in complete control of his armor. So let's see what we can do." He uses one of his repulsors to get into this weak spot, and blinds DeWitt for a few seconds. So he ends up trashing DeWitt's part of DeWitt's suit, knocks off his jetpack and everything. So they go crash into the ground, crashing right into a building. And DeWitt's like, "You're a fool. Didn't your onboard systems tell you I damaged your boots too?" Because Iron Man, he couldn't fly. So he's dodging DeWitt's laser blasts, and he's trying to knock out the armor. Now this is a really, really advanced exoskeleton, but Tony finally keeps pummeling and finds this weak spot, and he's also fighting his own fatigue because the control is still kind of there, but he kind of has brief moments of control. So he's damaged DeWitt's control for the most part, but he's still kind of woozy and is having a little bit of a lapse where he's out of breath, and DeWitt takes this opportunity, smashes Iron Man, and he's got all of his guns painted on him. And then just as he's about to shoot him up, another Iron Man suit comes in. He goes, "Here I come to save the day." It ends up being Rhodey, and DeWitt in the outfit goes, "Rhodes, Jim Rhodes? He must have been the one that was substituting for Iron Man a long time ago." He goes, "I should have taken him out sooner." So Rhodey's just like, "How are you doing?" He's like, "I've been worse, but you showed up at the nick of time." He goes, "We need to do our combined strength." And he's like, "Okay, so you're wearing an earlier model of my Iron Man armor. It has an external power pack. If I access my gauntlet's main power relay with this, and a lot of techno babble and everything," he goes, "we can build a force chamber overload that you can discharge." And as DeWitt is charging up as in a to hit him, and he powers up Rhodey's suit, and he blasts DeWitt, like smashes the crap out of him. Now this building is about to fall on him, and they fly down to the ground. They open up the armor, and he goes, "All right, we need to see who this is." And Tony opens up the armor. Now meanwhile, he think of it this way. Now this entire time, he has never seen DeWitt. Never. That's why he questioned what the name was. He goes, "I don't know him. He keeps talking about this retribution and paying me back for something that went wrong, but what happened?" And Rhodey kind of pulls Iron Man back just as the building crushes down on DeWitt. So they're kind of sitting there seeing if he's coming up. He's apparently dead. So Rhodey takes off the armor, and Tony is like totally shaken out of it, and they walk away. And it's kind of I had finished reading this the first time, and I'm like, wait a minute, that's how it ends? So you kind of had to, we kind of had to go back and kind of see what this was. And I tried to go back, couldn't figure it out, but I ended up having to go forward. Now, DeWitt reappears a little bit later on. So then you find out why Kirsten DeWitt did what he did. Now, Tony had no idea who he was, but he suspected that Tony was to blame for stealing his father's designs, which were used to build Iron Man's suit, because DeWitt's father was. This engineer was into technology and kind of similar things that Stark Enterprises was in with armor building. So he thought that Iron Man's whole existence was based off of Stark stealing from him. So in the end, it was a reverse on the Armor Wars. Remember in the first Armor Wars, Tony was vowing revenge for all of this technology going to all these bad guys, and he had to dismantle it. So in Armor Wars 2, after everything was said and done, there was no indication of what started what until this. It ended up DeWitt thought that Tony had taken his ideas and vowed revenge too. So this was an Armor War, but it was from the perspective of Iron Man, and we couldn't really get a full perspective on DeWitt. We knew a little bit about the character, but we didn't have all the full details. So in the end, it was DeWitt who was trying to enact revenge, the same way Tony did in the first Armor Wars. So with that, we have concluded Armor Wars 1 and 2. I can't wait to see what comes on the big screen, small screen, if it is going to be a movie, if it's going to be a TV show, what aspects they take from this and put it into the movie or TV show or whatever it is. And we know off the bat that Tony is not going to be the main focus of it, obviously, because of what happened in Endgame. So I would presume that this is going to be like a roadie, Happy Hogan-centered storyline. But hopefully it'll have some aspects in it, and we get to see some familiar characters from the Marvel Universe as well, and maybe some new ones. Maybe we'll see some of the bad guys from these books. Who knows? And you will have the leg up on people that have no idea what they're talking about because you've listened to this episode and you've listened to the previous episodes of Armor Wars, so you kind of now have a leg up. I also encourage you to go out and look for these issues if you love what you've heard. And I've said this every episode. If you're looking for these books, I put a picture of every comic that I do as a post on Instagram, Facebook, as a reel, as a story, and everything, so you can find them out there if you haven't followed me. And I do that so you can look at these covers, go out and find these books on your own. Now, if you're having trouble doing that, I think I can help you with that if you would like. You can always reach out to me, as I've said, on Instagram at BryTheComicBookGuy or BryTheComicBookGuy@gmail.com, and we can talk about it. I can help you point you in the right direction. I know shop owners, I know places to go. If you live in the Southwest Michigan area, I have a little bit of a comic cave. If you're interested in checking that out, I can maybe help you out with that too. So on that note, we're gonna go into our next discussion. I kind of poured over things. I like to do Marvel, DC back and forth. A lot of times in the future, I'm probably gonna do more Marvel stuff because I do these storylines because I have them, and I'm constantly on the hunt for all of these books that I'm missing to be able to bring these storylines to you. And I have a lot of Marvel. There's more Marvel than DC, but the next several weeks is gonna be something that came out a couple years ago, and it's called Dark Crisis. We didn't know it at the time, but it is now it's called the direct sequel to the original Crisis on Infinite Earths. There's gonna be a bad guy that was a good guy, and now he's not doing so well. And he's hooked up with the wrong crowd, and he's hooked up with some really bad entities. And it ends up being eventually called Dark Crisis on Infinite Earths. We didn't know that at first. It was just called Dark Crisis because when there's ever a big event in DC, they call it a crisis. Crisis on Infinite Earths, then they had Identity Crisis, Final Crisis, Infinite Crisis, things like that, and then Dark Crisis on Infinite Earths. But there's a huge thing that happens at the end of this one that kind of shapes the rest of the DC universe for years to come, and it kind of brings some retribution to some things that happened previously, but I'm not gonna spoil all those details. So join me next week as we start the discussion on Dark Crisis, which will eventually become Dark Crisis on Infinite Earths, and I'll kind of explain where you can see the differences. If you're looking for these books, first prints, second prints, I can kind of explain that to you too. But if you're looking for more details, as I said, email me, brythecomicbookguy@gmail.com, or hit me up on Instagram @brythecomicbookguy. So until then, thanks for listening.